This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It is a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. What are we reacting to? Well, quite a few things. The Texans victory, 20-12 over the Miami Dolphins. That was fantastic. A Texans AFC championship, AFC South championship. I have to add the South in there because it's a lot different otherwise. It'd be nice.
Boy, is it.
It'd be nice to get there, though.
Oh, man. Hey, we'd be hungover. Yeah, we'd be hungover right now.
Yeah, man. Man, I'm trying to think how hungover I'd be. I might actually
To New Orleans.
I might actually get straight up drunk.
Well, we'd have been in the studio till the wee hours. Just broadcast.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have stopped.
We wouldn't have ended.
We wouldn't have stopped.
Yeah,
we wouldn't after have the post game show. It's the after post game show.
Yeah, yeah, we would have been here just opening bottles and everything else.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I'd have been. Would it be interesting to know? Is it at all interesting to you that I have only been drunk? I think one time, maybe two, if I'm forgetting one.
That's impressive, man.
You've only been drunk once or twice.
That's correct. I'm good with
the kids these days.
I'm good with mine.
I know.
You know what's funny is like
Lopez kids.
What is funny though is like there are studies or whatever that show that it does feel like
are they so responsible?
The younger generation are doing a little bit less of the wilding out, which is kind of crazy to think.
Why are the kids these days so damn responsible?
I know, man.
Do I count as the kids these days?
Well,
anymore. Radio guy only been drunk one time,
but That's still right. You went to college.
I did go to college.
You were in high school.
That's right. Well, high school is an interesting one because I learned that people was doing like hard drugs in high school after. I was like, wait, y'all was doing that? I didn't know about all that. All right. There is a little bit more news on Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He is obviously or the Chiefs generally are your opponent, your next opponent. And obviously that this is a stretch of three games in 11 days. That is quite a challenge. And honestly, right now, after the Steelers lose their game, you have an opportunity. You're only a game out of third place, right? If things break your way, you could possibly move up in the standings and possibly give yourself a better opportunity and maybe hosting a second round game should some things shake a different way, or at least avoiding what at this point looks like it would be the Baltimore Ravens, probably one of the most explosive offenses in the league. I guess that's a harder case to make seeing the Bills, what they did yesterday. But Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Chiefs, was diagnosed with a mild high ankle sprain following tests. He's still considered week to week. So that falls in line with like the initial tests of what happened. So with the Saturday turnaround, right, the 6 days as opposed to full seven, That makes it tougher on the possibility that he plays on Saturday.
I can't imagine that he is. I'm not trying to, you know, break any news here. I think it's pretty straightforward. But let's hear from D'Amico Ryans about all this stuff, because D'Amico live right now from NRG Stadium.
After y'all clinched the AFC South yesterday, so what does it mean to you to do that for the second straight year?
Yeah, clinching the AFC South is huge for us. Great accomplishment by all of our guys. It's always our goal, right? You want to make it in the postseason. You have to win your division. It starts there. And so we're just thankful for everyone who played a part in us, you know, reaching the first step of our goal, and that's getting in. Credit to all of our guys and the work that they put in, the way they played. And yesterday was just outstanding to see them play that way, play complimentary football and find a way to win games. And so very proud of our guys and proud to win the AFC South.
Having clinched, how do you approach the remainder of the regular season in terms of trying to improve so you hit the playoffs in stride, and also there's some potential for seeding improvement?
And for us, we still take it one week at a time, even though we've clinched the AFC South, it still doesn't change our approach. When we line up and play, we're still trying to improve as a football team in all areas and try to play our best ball, you know, when playoffs time hit. So we're trying to still improve, still do our best.
When you look at the film from yesterday, what did you see with the offense, the changes you guys made up front? How do you think, after looking at it, how do you think that worked?
Yeah, really pleased with the offensive line and what they did yesterday. Really liked the lineup that we had, you know. First, I'd like to thank Titus. Just, he should get some love for being unselfishly moving over inside to the left guard position, and Blake coming in playing the most snaps that he's played. Think, you know, he had a good start there, and he still has room to grow and improve. But I think for his first time, his first outing there, he think he did a really good job, and just collectively the group held up pretty well in protection. Always things to clean up, but I was pleased with the O-line play, and we'll see where we can grow from there.
D'Amico, how do you think the bye week, when you look back, the bye week helped CJ bounce back? He needed rest in his position. It seemed like he had extra zip on the balls yesterday.
Yeah, the bye week definitely helped. Alan, CJ helped everyone. I think just being refreshed, energized, I think the energy was really good yesterday from our entire team. I think that's where the bye week helped us. We were still rolling there in the fourth quarter. Felt like we had the mental and physical stamina to finish the game the right way. So I think it helped everyone.
No, Joe Mixon suffered a little bit of ankle injury in the first half. How did he come out? And do you have any concern with him about Saturday?
Yeah, Joe came out fine. He missed some time there. But he'll be fine.
We talked a lot about Stingley and Kalen yesterday. How pleased have you been with, you talked about Titus stepping up, Jimmy stepping up, and
playing nickel for Jalen when he went down?
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, he hasn't blinked. Jimmy's been a great playmaker for us, and he's stepped in wherever we needed him to play, move him around a lot. He's thrived in whatever role we've given him. The thing about Jimmy is that he loves to play football. you watch the tape, you watch him play, like he's all over the field flying around because he just loves to play football. Wherever he lines up, it really doesn't matter to him. Like, he just wants to be out there and do anything he can to help the team win.
Coach, from the outside looking in, what did you see that made you so impressed by Tim Settle Jr. and bringing him in, knowing that he would fit into your defensive scheme?
Yeah, what I saw from Tim, first off, Tim's a young player. Even though he's been in the league for a while, he's still a young player who's ascending. I saw a bigger defensive lineman who has some explosive traits that are really liked on film, and just felt like getting him in our scheme would accentuate those traits even more. We would allow him to play an attack style of defense more, and thought he would be really good at it. And Tim is taking it, he's ran with it. He's been a really great addition to our defense, great player to have. There's great energy. He keeps it light on the team. You need that. Tim knows how to have a good time, and he puts a smile on everyone. That's how everyone here is smiling, so I guess you guys know as well. But just love the energy that he brings to our entire team.
I know Stingley has been good for you guys for a long time, but just how impressive was what he did there in that fourth quarter for you yesterday, getting two interceptions to kind of seal the game?
Yeah, it's very impressive. Like I said, it's very rare you see a player make a play that way to end the game. Like, that was that's all pro type plays. Like that's what it looks like, you know, when you're one of the top guys of your position in the league, going up, matching it up against, you know, one of the best wideouts in the league as well, and to make the plays that he made, you know, can't say enough about how impactful Stingley has been, you know, throughout not only those plays on yesterday, but Stingley has been impactful throughout the entire year. I think from the past three wins, he's been our defensive player of the game. So when he's making impact plays, it's putting us in position to win football games.
You and CJ are the first coach and quarterback duo to win the division in their first 2 years together. So how have you reflected on that, on what you've been able to accomplish in such a short time, and also what you're still trying to accomplish?
Yeah, as we reflect on winning a division and back to back, it's we're grateful, we're thankful, you know, to be in a position we are. I'm thankful to work with the guys I get to work with on a day-to-day basis. That's what makes it special, the people that I work with and the way the guys show up every day to work with the right mindset, the right attitude. It makes it fun, right, to work with these guys. And also, we're always trying to do our best, trying to compete, win games. But you can do it with good people. That's when it means more.
You have a flag on the hip drop tackle. What did you see? Is that something you would submit on the tackle on Joe Mixon?
Yeah, the play with Joe on the sideline, we see that as a hip drop tackle that didn't get flagged there, but see it as a hip drop tackle. Unfortunate. Again, it's something we're trying to clean up and get out of the game from a defensive perspective. Guys just have to do a better job of getting their bodies in front and wrapping up and running your feet.
Touched on the connection between CJ and Nico in the past. I think you called it outstanding yesterday. Just how big is it for you to have a quarterback and a receiver that are on the same page in the red zone and able to make plays off schedule like that?
In the red zone is where we needed to improve offensively. And when you see things happen, plays broke down yesterday in the red zone, but seeing the off schedule where CJ and Nico truly find that connection, whether it's in the back of the end zone or Nico, you know, making a move to come towards the front pylon, and CJ just keeping his eyes downfield and finding Nico. And those are the type of plays you have to make sometimes in the red zone, because once you hit your back foot, the coverage, no matter what coverage it is, probably guys are in windows, right? And it's not there as soon as you hit your back foot. So you have to be able to move around and make plays like that. And CJ and Nico are doing an outstanding job with that, and I'd like to see even more.
The quarterback is usually one of the more outspoken and quiet personalities on the team. But even going back to yesterday, talking to Sting afterwards, you know, after he had two interceptions, he's like, yeah, it's cool. Just being around the league for a long time, how unique is that, especially when it comes to like that position? And also, just getting a chance to get to know him over these past couple of years, what have you gotten a chance to learn about who Derek Stingley is, specifically as a person?
Yeah, Stingley is very quiet. It doesn't change no matter how many plays he makes, right? Impactful plays, game-changing plays. It's one thing about Sting, he's always the same. So he's not gonna give you much, but one thing, you know, for everyone to know, Sting, he cares a lot. Right, it means a lot to him to not only it means a lot to him to play well. Right, he's confident. He wants to be in those tough matchups, but he cares a lot about playing well. He cares a lot about, you know, helping the team win. So that's Stingley. Right, he has a big heart, and it shows. He doesn't always say it, but I could tell by his actions that he truly cares a lot for his teammates.
Christian Harris yesterday. What did you see from him in his first game back?
Hey, Christian was flying around. He's playing fast. He was sideline to sideline, makes nice tackles, like he hadn't missed a beat. You know, he'll have a few things to continue to clean up, but I was impressed with, you know, the amount of snaps he was able to play and the plays he was able to make with him coming back, you know, after being away for such a long time. So I'm really, really, really impressed with just his outing on yesterday. It was cool to see. You know, he's missed a lot of time, worked hard to get back, and he did not want to come off the field. Even when I tried to get him off the field, he did not want to come off the field.
Henry played all the defensive snaps for you. It looked like he had the communication
with you as well. What did you make of his performance yesterday, filling that role that I think, you know, Aziz typically has?
Yeah, I was pleased with Henry. I think one thing, having the communication, you know, when guys get that, sometimes, you know, it throws you off of your game, right, because you're having to do a little bit more when it comes to getting everyone else to call, getting everyone else lined up. But I thought Henry was very calm in the moment, and he handled himself really well. He played well, a ton of tackles, flying around, forced a fumble. But overall, he led the unit in a very, very nice manner, productive outing by him. And just the communication piece was off the charts. Right? We had a lot going on with what Miami's offense presents to us, and Henry was steady throughout their entire game.
What would you say are the strengths? You talked about leaning on strengths. Would you say that yesterday y'all did that? And what would you say are the strengths of this team?
At this moment of the season, you know, strengths, weaknesses, you know, every week, and you know, it may be the offense needing to pick the defense up, or defense need to pick the offense up, special teams needing to make an impact play. At this point in the season, for me, it's, you know, it's about finding a way to win games. Like in playing, I mentioned it yesterday, is playing complementary football. Each side isn't always going to be on. Each side isn't always going to have it all together, but it's about picking each other up. It's about team football at this moment, and that just speaks to the team that we're playing this week, Kansas City. You know, no matter what position they find themselves in games, they find a way to win. Or it's offense, defense, special, they find a way to win games, and that's what good teams do, right? You can't, even though you want it to be one strength here or there, it doesn't matter. How do you win games? And that's all we're concerned about right now.
Caleb Bullock's had a lot of success this year. What's impressed you the most since the day you guys got him to now, the way he's produced for you?
Yeah, proud of Caleb. And, you know, I always talked about him taking the football away, but I'm proud of him yesterday for just his angles to the football, his effort, and his tackling. I thought he improved. He took a step there in tackling. And so he's a young player who's continued to ascend for us, and he's making a ton of plays for us. Back there patrolling the middle of the field, like, you know, teams keep trying him, and he keeps going up and getting the football. So have a young player who's confident as he is, plays with great instincts, great hands, great eyes. He's making a ton of plays for us.
How did you come away viewing how the offense played as a whole?
Yeah, as a whole, I think our offense, we did some good things. We got points. We put the ball in the end zone. We got points. Moved the ball downfield. Put ourselves up to, you know, kick field goals. And, you know, we want to definitely, overall, there are always things to improve upon, right? Eliminating the negative plays. Don't like to see the negative plays there for us where we're going backwards. Like, just want to see more positive plays, gaining positive yardage. But, you know, get the ball in the end zone, play complementary football. It was enough for us to win.
With Patrick Mahomes dealing with that ankle injury, do you expect him to play? And does what he's dealing with change y'all's preparation in any way?
Yeah, I have no idea on if he's playing or not, so I really can't focus on it or be concerned about it. You know, we're preparing for the Chiefs, and you know, a lot of the light shines on Patrick a lot, but you know, if you watch the Chiefs play, their defense is an outstanding unit. They do a really good job defensively. Coach Spagnuolo's done a great job. Coach Reed in the offense, they're going to find a way, no matter who's there, they find a way to move the football, right? And so we just have to be on it in all areas of the game, whether Patrick is there or not.
Coach, being able to slow down that Miami Dolphins offense, who has so many explosive weapons, being able to win like that, being able to grind out that type of win, is that what you mean by when you talk about December football?
That's it. That's what it looks like right there. I mean, it's not always pretty. It's never going to be perfect, but you have to grind, and you have to grind to the end of the game, right? When the clock says 0-0, it doesn't matter how pretty or ugly it looks. Like, you walk away with the W. That's the only thing that matters at this point in the season, right? And that's all our focus would be. That's what we did versus a really good Dolphins team. We grinded it out. We found a way to win. Special teams. I can't say enough about our special teams unit. I mean, not, you know, everybody talks about the fake and the execution of it, which was outstanding. But for me, the way our guys covered on the punt team, our kickoff team, the way they covered, the way they flew around and swarmed the ball carrier, like, man, I couldn't be more proud of our unit and them taking that our game plan, taking it and executing it, right? I mean, I want to show those guys a lot of love. They did a really great job. Emi, great job of knocking down the field goals as well.
My next question, going back to that big punt, oftentimes your teams might work on that throughout the year, waiting for the right opportunity. How nice was it to dial it up and have it work in your favor, and how important do you think that was to ultimately helping guys get the win?
Yeah, it was huge, a huge momentum shift for us and one we needed at the time. I felt like it was the right moment for us to call it and make it happen. But credit to our guys for executing. It's one thing to call it, but you got to have the people who execute the right way. So Dylan Horton, Jake Hansen, Jeff Okuda, of course, MJ handling the football, getting it to, it's a lot of things that have to go right by a lot of different people on that play. And it was well executed. All right. Thank you guys.
There you go. That's the head coach of your Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, talking to the assembled media. What struck you real quick before we move it along here? Because he said quite a few things in there. What struck you the most of what D'Amico said there?
Yeah, you know, we're talking here as we're listening to it, and we're going to dig into this, if not today, certainly tomorrow. He kept talking about complimentary football, and I think he was trying to protect the offense a little bit because it was really about the defense and the special teams. Defense picking up everyone.
Yeah, he'd been asked, he asked, what do you, at this point in the season, do you view as the strength of the team? Which felt like a fairly, mm-hmm. you know, a fairly simple question to ask. You know, like, I didn't think that was going to be elicit kind of the response that D'Amico gave. And D'Amico kind of sidestepped it, right? Yeah. He talked about how, you know, at any given time you need, you're going to need one part of the team to pick up another part of the team. But it feels like that's gone, it's kind of one way.
It's a defense.
It's been a one-way street a lot of the times when we talk about one side picking up the other. And it's been the defense doing that. I understand in some ways why you want to protect, you know, your guys just generally.
Sure, he's protecting the offense and Bobby Slowick.
I don't know that it is viewed necessarily as a shot to be able to highlight that, yeah, the defense has been the strength of this team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found it kind of odd that he seemed to not want to go to that place in the way that I felt like you could do it pretty simply. But hey, D'Amico Ryans has
a shot at the offense to say, hey, our defense is playing its butts off.
And they absolutely are. Yeah. They absolutely are. A lot of interesting things there. I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we continue on here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, about that time where we do our lunchtime.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Confessions. We'll do those next.
So long, Kyle Tucker. The Astros are trading the star right fielder to the Cubs for Isak Paredes, right-handed pitcher. Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Y'all are sleeping on it. Y'all are sleeping on this.
What are we sleeping on?
You slept on it last year. Last year, I came up with the nickname. Well, I didn't come up with it necessarily, but I mentioned it on air. Harris County for Christian Harris.
Wait, you're claiming to be the inventor of this?
Figgy, I was really, like, I came up with it early on. I said,
You brung it up. Yeah.
I don't know if I was the first, but I was definitely one of the first, and maybe the first, I think probably the first, like, in our business to say, you know, we should call him Harris County. Now what do people call him?
Harris County.
The closer.
No, you're not making the closer work.
You're sleeping on it.
No, you refuse.
Harris County was cool because that's the man's last name.
Yeah.
And he covered a lot of area. So that makes sense. You can see on the T-shirt.
Just about an hour ago, maybe a little more, I was about to mention it. I said, I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for confession. You went through like, oh, he's got this knack for being behind and being able to finish and make the play.
Yeah,
at the
man,
end.
He breaks but on you know the football.
What that is?
He
gets, you know what that is? That's the closer.
The brother name Derek is Stingley. The brother name is Stingley.
I mean, you can't come up with Stingley right there, bro.
Who closed out that game yesterday?
Calling the man a hornet or something.
A lot
man.
Of people have nicknames that aren't necessarily with their name involved. Who closed out that game yesterday?
I mean, likely.
Help me out. Who was it?
Yeah.
Who closed on the ball yesterday? Who closed on the ball? Who's been, you just heard D'Amico Ryans, three straight weeks defensive player of the game.
That's right.
Because he's making plays at the ends of games. The closer. You're sleeping on it.
That's not a good nickname, though,
I'm going to fight you to the death on this one.
you're sleeping on.
713-572-4610 with new evidence and exhibits in the case. How do you find the closer as a nickname for Derek Stingley?
Dude,
Let us know.
That's a badass nickname.
Yeah, 713-572-4610.
You got to do something with the name Stingley, though, man.
But a lot of people don't necessarily have their name in their nickname.
Yeah, but he got a cool last name, though. How you not going to use his cool last name?
The closer is a cool nickname.
Is it?
By the way, it's very descriptive of what he is.
Yeah, I'm
y'all slept on Harris County. Don't sleep on the closer. Get in early. Stock is low. Stock price is low.
Yeah, I'm good on that. I will continue to pass. These are my confessions. All right. I will start with the lower energy of these. Right, I'll be a little bit of the.
Why you got your shoe in your hand?
I'll explain. It'll all make sense here in a second.
He's
holding
a shoe.
I'll start with probably like the more bittersweet of confessions here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the my cause my cleats is something that the mm-hmm. NFL does. And that was the previous 2 weeks. I did it this week because obviously didn't have an opportunity to like do this with a road game and then a bye week. This is the time to actually have it. But considering I wore my cause mm-hmm. my kicks Air Force Ones yesterday. If you're watching, you can see they're dedicated to the Houston Area Women's Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little. I saw this news yesterday that was a little bittersweet. Actually, really bittersweet. Harris County is giving a $1 million grant mm-hmm. to domestic violence services at the Houston Area Women's Center, which is renewable for 4 years because 2023, University of Houston had a study that found that there's been an increase in domestic violence.
Oh, that's the bitter part.
But the sweet part is that thankfully Harris County is putting in a good amount of funding too, again, to the Houston Area Women's Center.
Those which some sweet looking kicks.
I'm very grateful. Yeah. I mean, it's cool purple and black, but obviously more important than the way it looks is the services that they provide. So I did want to give a shout out to the Houston Area Women's Center and happy that they continue to provide those
you
services.
You really wanted to wear those yesterday, didn't you?
I did. I wore them yesterday because I feel like, I mean, more than anything, they do look cool, but more than anything, the important services, everybody has those causes and they mean something to them. So I just wanted to make sure to shout them out and be happy that they're getting a little more funding, although I hate the circumstances under which they had to.
So I did something I never done at this station before, man. So I'm usually like you guys are I'm using you guys loosely,
mm-hmm.
but I never bet on games, man. I never
friendly bets. That's how you start.
Yeah, I never did any of that. But man, I ain't gonna lie. I hit a Ron Hughley and I said, hey, I bet you on this Chiefs game, man.
He's in.
Yeah,
Figgy's in.
Hey, I'm all in. So Ron, I think he's like 0-for when it comes to these bets because remember earlier he betted Tyler mm-hmm. With the Astros and Royals game.
Oh yeah,
and he ended up getting his hair dyed,
mm-hmm.
which is still a look that's working for
him. It's a good look. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yesterday he lost the bet to Lopez. He should be bringing that Camus in. Was it Camus?
We would think, yeah.
He should be bringing that Camus in.
Hey, he might need a little bit to get his funds together before he does it. You might need to give him a little bit of time to make sure.
Yeah, or he probably taking some time putting some cheek Camus in the bottle.
Honestly, if he gets away with that, I would actually be impressed more than anything. Just like shout out to you doing the work and making that happen.
Yeah, but this time, man, I think I set up a little friendly bet with Ron. Ain't nothing like that, but I told Ron if the Texans win,
mm-hmm.
he got to jump in the dunk tank.
Yeah,
that's what it is. So if the Houston Texans win, Ron got to get in the dunk tank.
Okay.
If they lose, I got to get in the dunk tank.
I bet Ron is like seeing. Can you rent an ankle? You know what I mean? Can you loan out an ankle every once in a while?
And this is Saturday after the game?
Yep, Saturday at the game. So
I'm checking the weather.
Yeah, so
checking the weather because you could be
so
cold.
We got it all set up nice and pretty. We're gonna be at the Barking Pig in the Heights.
Okay.
All
right.
I'm gonna be out there watching the game and all that stuff. And whoever loses gotta jump in that dunk tank, man.
More power to
you. I'm a look.
Oh, baby.
It's going to be a little chilly.
Oh, baby. Hey,
that made the bed even sweeter,
high
right?
of 62, low of 43.
Ooh. You know what's funny is that none
low
of it.
Low of 43, high of 62. So let's say they play, what, 3:30? Right?
No, they play at noon.
I mean, they play at noon.
The game might be over around maybe 2:30, 3, somewhere around
there. Let's say you do it about 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not going to be that bad.
It'd be about 50.
Oh man! Oh,
yeah. I mean,
I will say I feel more confident now, man. Hopefully, Patrick Mahomes maybe don't play, or maybe he's super hobbled.
Mm-hmm. Odds currently are in the favor of the Texans, a 3-point spread in favor of the Texans right now.
Now, I did hit up Ron. I'm like, hey, you ain't got to do this if you don't want to, because I know, you know, the quarterback hurt. He said, nah, he down for it. We got to bet, man, at the Barking Pig, man.
Dunking tank in 55-degree weather.
Yep. It's going to be pretty.
These are my confessions. Serious confession here. Well, they're all semi-serious, but this is an absolute serious confession. I don't understand how the NFL cannot get pants right.
What you mean?
How can they not find someone to make pants that fit and stay up? How can the NFL not do that?
Oh, is this about Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson yesterday, DeAndre Hopkins yesterday showed the crack. As well, we've had others.
I don't like the way you said that. I mean, you didn't do anything intentionally wrong. It just didn't sound right.
Lamar Jackson was holding up his pants. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins showed the crack.
Still running past people holding up his pants, mind you.
And who were the other ones? Didn't Myles Garrett lose his pants at some point this year?
Was it
Myles Garrett? Like, how does the this is the NFL $15 billion industry? You have partnerships everywhere. You can't make pants that stay up.
I mean, pants are gonna slide every once in a while.
No, they're not. They don't have to. And it's not like these guys are trying to do it for style purposes. Like, it's during the course of the game, pants are falling off.
You want to hear what Lamar had to say about
that? I would love to hear what Lamar had to say about that.
There was a scramble, I think, in the first half where it looked like you were maybe having to hold up your pants.
So look. They was asking me that. So I'm like, I felt like wind was touching my butt, you know, so I was trying to keep my tights up.
For real.
I feel like the tights just, like, got a little loose or something. I don't know. So I was, like, just trying to keep my pants up. But that's all it was.
See, they don't want the pants to fall off, but the pants are falling off. Who does the uniforms for the NFL? Who does the pants?
That's Nike, ain't it?
Is it still Nike?
Nike outfits the whole joint.
How?
All right, 281. Y'all sent us some wild texts in sometimes. I'm not reading
Derrick Henry, too.
I'm not reading that. It was Derrick Henry. But I'm not reading it the way that you wrote it. That's crazy. What you trying to do right now?
Were you talking about the double cheeks?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, now that you've already said it, they said Derrick Henry was double-cheeked up a couple weeks ago. What are you doing right now?
Yes.
What exactly is happening?
That is a very serious question. Make some damn pants that can stay up. These players don't want them to fall. It's not a stylish, you know, thing they're trying to do.
Yeah, that's a fair point, right? Nike has had some issues with uniforms, although last time it was really it was Nike again with the baseball, with the see-through stuff. So hey, Nike, get on your grind, man. What happened to the Nike I used to know? What happened to the Nike I used to love? These are my confessions. I don't know why I have a favorite penalty, but I do have a favorite penalty.
You have a favorite penalty.
And it's called encroachment. I don't know what it is about encroachment. I don't know, like, what is it, the word, saying the word encroachment? I don't know. Maybe it's the somewhat rare occasion for it to be called, because most of the times it'll be offsides. But in those little instances where the defensive player does jump and touch another player, boom, encroachment happens. And it's very stupid. I don't think it's a thing that you should have. Like, do you have a favorite penalty? Does anybody here have a favorite penalty?
What is my favorite penalty if I had to think of one? That's a good question, man.
No, it's not. Don't entertain that. It's a stupid question. I have a favorite penalty. It's very dumb.
I think you just like to say encroachment. It sounds very...
But honestly, fancy. If I had to pick one, I like pass interference on the defense, man.
DPI.
Because they just be so mad. Like, what did I do?
But that's every
like,
game.
Like, you was clearly hugging the guy, man. So every time it's like pass interference, defense number, and they just be so pissed off.
My favorite penalty call was giving them the business.
You're giving them the business.
Oh, you talk about call like that.
No. I'm just that's separate. Okay. My favorite actual penalty, I'd have to think about that.
Yeah, but I don't know why. Like, it's a very dumb thing to have a favorite. And this is, mind you, as a person who is not good at having favorites, right? You ask me my favorite, like, movie, and I'm like, all right, we got to get into categories because I don't know that I can come up with one. I can give you a favorite penalty, though, because I'm a weirdo. Apparently. I'd realize that when that encroachment happened yesterday. There you go. Those are our confessions here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 on a victory reaction Monday after the Texans get a 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins. And shout out to the Colts, not doing their job, but also not doing their job, but also doing their job, losing to the Denver Broncos. That solidified an AFC South title for your Texans, the eighth of its kind in the AFC side in Texans history. But coming up next, speaking of winners, who are the winners and losers of the weekend, all the way around the weekend, no matter what? Give us some winners, some losers. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss all of it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, we're going to get to the winners and losers of the weekend, but it feels like y'all have latched on to something with my final confession where I was admitting that I realized in a moment in the press box at NRG Stadium during a 20-12 victory over the Dolphins that I actually have a favorite penalty. It's a very weird thing that I had never considered until that moment, and it is indeed encroachment. And then y'all just latched on because apparently y'all got some favorite penalties as well. So if you want to share, 713-572-4610 is the number to let us know if you do indeed also have a favorite penalty. Make me feel like less of a weirdo, I guess.
Yeah, this is not a favorite. It just makes me feel a little bit weird whenever I hear him say it. I thought of this during the break. Illegal touching.
Yeah.
They got to change that. They got to change that, don't they?
No. I mean, it's just like, hey, you can't touch that.
Yeah.
You went out of bounds. That's not for you,
dog. Can't touch this. Dun, dun.
Right, exactly. Right, it feels like you're taking care of a toddler. Like, no, don't touch that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't touch
That's
that.
Why they need to change it.
From the 281, they said offensive pass interference, love seeing receivers get caught. I could rock with that. Because, mm-hmm. like, there's enough times where receivers get a lot of deference in passing routes, and they be pushing and such.
Yeah, you really got to get caught, mm-hmm. if you get offensive pass interference.
It's like, just a little... Yeah.
No,
Yeah, clear as day then.
It's a little catharsis. It's like, mm-hmm. finally, all right, there are some bounds here. There are some boundaries here. Somebody said favorite penalty is tripping because nobody does it well. It always looks like desperate.
Tripping's a good one.
Falling or flailing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, okay. So, mm-hmm. yeah, go ahead. I guess send those in if you have, for some reason, a favorite penalty. But right now, let's get to some winners and losers of the weekend. Yes, I do say weekend in general. Of course, NFL will dominate this because, you know, NFL. Mm-hmm. But I actually want to start away from NFL. I'm going to start in our nation's capital, or at least near our nation's capital, Landover, Maryland, where we were for Army-Navy. You're wearing the quarter zip right now, aren't you?
I am. I like this one.
It's solid. It really is. Not solid. Bryson Daly. He is a loser on the weekend. I'd say Bryson Daly, not particularly Army, although Army did. They also got the pummel drone, 31-13. They got dominated by Navy in the game. Did not anticipate.
Well, I shouldn't say big, but a surprise.
No, it's definitely, I think it's a big surprise that Navy did that in that way. Army was the team that was ranked. They had been really good on offense, although Navy had some solid offense this year. But really, the reason why I say Bryson Daly is the loser is not just because they lost, is because Bryson Daly literally quadrupled his interception total, mm-hmm. in a single day. Mm-hmm. He had one interception all the way through the season to that point on Saturday, and he threw three of them against Navy.
Yeah, that he was a loser there. I'll tell you what, not only was Navy a winner, but they ran an awesome fake punt.
They did.
Awesome.
That's a great point.
With a defensive end, I believe is what he was. Yeah. But he was a big fella. And he was rumbling and stumbling. Actually, he wasn't. He was more like Sweat from, I mean, he was picking him up and putting him down.
Yeah, man. I love
seeing. Big man fake punt.
Big man moving is one of my favorite things because those dudes are athletes in the truest sense of the word. So shout out to, I guess not a shout out to Bryson Daly, but I mean, one of the things I did appreciate though is that Bryson Daly and Army will not have to, like, that won't be their final indignity or whatever. Like, they'll have an opportunity to go to the bowl game, which, by the way, I guess this is a, I guess a loser in some ways as well. Hey, Marshall, what's happening? I feel like Marshall needs to be counted as losers in this. The Independence Bowl was supposed to be with Marshall in it.
Is it their fault?
Well, yes, because Marshall has had a lot of transfers in this portal season.
So many that they can't play.
They have 47 of their players still available for them out of the 65 or whatever that had played this year. 47 of those guys are still there. That's enough to play.
That's a big hit, man.
That's a big hit. Don't get me wrong, but you can still play in a bowl game.
It's a big hit.
So they bounced out of the bowl, like they dropped out of the Independence Bowl. Independence Bowl had to go and grind and go and bring in Louisiana Tech. So that is what they're going to play in the Independence Bowl. But I'm like, yo, man, I feel like whether it's losers just because of having to deal with what the transfer portal has wrought on this current iteration of football, or if it's just because, hey, man, y'all kind of suckered out by not actually playing.
I mean, there might have been a little bit of both. I mean, they could have played.
So that they will
face
off.
But they knew how ugly it could be because we don't know the importance of those players that are transferring.
No, but also you're doing all that to go and play against that weird and wild offense that Army's going to put on the field for you. So that's another one.
To me, the two biggest winners of the weekend, outside of here locally, because clearly Derek Stingley was a big winner.
Hey man, put some locals in there. Okay, shout out to Derek Stingley. You get to win.
Derek Stingley is getting You heard it from D'Amico Ryans just about 30 minutes ago. Players in the locker room.
All-pro Sting.
All-pro. He mentioned, I mean, you know how D'Amico is with, the press availability. If he says something so definitively, it's a rarity, first of all, because he kind of like talks in generalities and protects players and, you know, teams and all that. And it's just coach speak, nothing against him. But he flat out said, all-pro type player.
Yeah.
All pro, and the nation is seeing it. And it was a game that, you know, obviously every NFL game gets attention, but it seemed to be getting a lot of attention because there was stakes for Miami, stakes for the Texans, and there's Derek Stingley. Derek Stingley is a big winner.
Yeah, I think so. Another winner, Mike Evans,
who
is picking up the pace on the 1,000-yard season. It's something that he just frequently does. Mm-hmm. Gives you 1,000 yards, and he missed some games this year that made it so that it looked like he might not get it. He came into this game with, what was it, like 500 and some mm-hmm. yards? I can't remember exactly where it was, but picks up 159 yards versus the Clippers. Or the Clippers. All right, so the reason why I did that, because I've done this the second time I've done that. If you're modern, when I write the Chargers, I write LAC, right? I write that little three-letter designation, just like you'll see it on on a scorebug or something.
Yeah.
But that's also the Clippers one, and for some reason I default there. But against the Chargers, who, by the way, best scoring defense to this point in the season, and they let that man pick up 159 yards and two touchdowns, mind you. So he's up to 749 yards on the season, and now he only
I didn't think he had a chance.
251 yards over three weeks. That's
how many games
more
did
doable.
He miss? Five?
I have to double check. But he, by the way, also has 103 career touchdowns in his career in Tampa, which is top nine in NFL history. He only needs two to catch up to Tony
that
Gonzalez.
That dude is just different level of good.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, secondary win. A father and son duo that was at that game because they got both of Mike Evans' touchdown footballs when he threw them into the stand.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. That was kind of cool. That was kind of cool
as
well.
Did he throw it or did he toss it?
Oh, he tossed it because there were no penalties that came.
We don't want nobody to get hurt.
There were no penalties that came.
Kyle Tucker.
Is he a winner or a loser?
Big winner. Big.
Well, he got to play for the Cubs before he gets his money.
I don't think it matters. Yeah, he's got his rings.
He was gonna get his pay. He was gonna get paid regardless, though, right?
Yeah, but he's got his rings.
Yeah, but it's a long time coming because him going through all that stuff with the Astros and arbitration and all that.
So frustrating.
Yeah,
for him,
nah,
sure.
he deserve every penny, man.
I mean, as much as you're like sort of mad at the Astros and you know sort of you know resigned to the fact that it's not going to be quite the same team. You got to be happy for this dude, man. I mean, he went arbitration.
Freedom!
It seemed like 12 years in a row he was in arbitration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was producing, too.
He absolutely was. I mean, people are looking at him as one of the best outfielders, one of the best, you know, hitters mm-hmm. in the game. And so, yeah, we all knew that in the coming year, right, mm-hmm. next offseason, this time next year, we're talking about big money for Kyle Tucker, and that has not changed one lick. How about this as a loser? You mentioned him earlier, Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell made a controversial decision as his team, which, by the way, wrecked and ravaged by injuries. I can give you just some of the defensive injuries that they have.
Yeah, they're up
and
against.
It is a mess. Let me see if I can give you some of these, right? Aiden Hutchinson, we know. Alim McNeil got injured in this game. He is likely lost for the season. Marcus Davenport, they lost a defensive lineman earlier. John Kaminsky, Alex Anzalone, a linebacker. Malcolm Rodriguez, another linebacker. Derek Barnes, another linebacker. Jalen Reeves-Maben, another linebacker. This week, they lost Carlton Davis, the mm-hmm. third. That's a cornerback. Or Ennis Rakestraw, Jr., Emmanuel Mosley, Ifeatu Melifonwu, and today we learned that they're losing Montgomery for a little bit of time as well. That team is, they are broken. They are beaten and they're battered, and yet and still, they were trying to keep pace with the Bills team that was really getting up and down on their mm-hmm. defense that is, you know, deeply injured. They had cut the deficit in the fourth quarter, 38-28. It's a 10-point game. There's probably about 10 minutes or so.
It was 10:40-something, so almost 11 minutes.
There you go, left in the game. They decide to declare for an onside kick. Jake Bates, their kicker, did put a good kick up, but it got picked up by or handled by Matt Collins, the wide receiver, and he takes it down to the three, and that essentially kind of puts the game away. But J.J. Watt hit up the quarterback, or he didn't hit him up, but he tweeted about it. He said it was a 10-point game with 12 minutes left. I don't understand. And Dan Campbell even went as far as saying, and we played the audio earlier, mm-hmm. I thought we'd get the ball. He said in hindsight, he wished he hadn't done it.
Yeah, I guess so.
It is what it is.
But yeah,
it is what it is.
And he said, it's my point that you're saying nothing when you say
he explained, no. He explained what happened there at the end. He said, you know what? It is what it is.
I don't like this because Lopez is feeling like he's getting wins here because there's that, which is not a win, but he thinks he's getting a win. And on the text line from the 281, I like it. The closer. No, don't encourage him.
Yes.
Don't do that.
And speaking of Lopez wins, I felt bad for you two. Legitimately.
I don't believe you one bit.
Let me explain what this dude did.
Okay, hold on real quick.
Losers on the weekend. Myself and Figgy's travel.
Okay, Figgy, you can text any of my kids. I was like trying to check the flight. I was like, no, I feel horrible for him. But that didn't mean I wasn't a winner. I felt bad for you, but I wasn't winning.
So we at the airport. He booked it early.
Yeah, so we were all obviously going to plan to fly back from D.C. together on Saturday after, mm-hmm. or maybe basically during Army-Navy, because we have to get back for the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
And you decided to push your flight up.
An earlier flight, boy.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, I got to go to my son's Christmas party.
You got
to
keep all the kids happy because they all have a Christmas
His favorite
party.
Son, my mm-hmm. favorite son having a Christmas party, so I'm dipping out of work. So.
I did everything up there I needed to do.
Not everything.
You missed
clearly.
The main event,
you missed
man.
The game. You missed March on. You missed the main
event. Y'all didn't stay for the whole game.
Well, we would have. Yeah. We could have, in fact.
I know.
Because we had a 4.5-hour delay in our flight coming back.
And
while all this is happening, right, we're watching all this happen, and Lopez is just texting us like, man, I feel bad for you guys. No, you don't.
We let them know that our flight got pushed back. It was a delay.
Not all at once. An hour at a time.
Yeah. And this dude going to text a whole bunch of pictures at the party like, damn. That sucks for y'all.
Yeah, look at us having fun.
Hey, look at us having fun.
I was texting y'all pictures of everybody drinking in their ugly sweaters and everything.
While I was paying
my granddaughter with her Christmas tree glasses.
While I paid $50 for a turkey club and a mule at the airport.
And you're getting ready to sleep on the floor last year.
That's right. So I guess we are losing.
Eli, I feel bad for you guys. No, you don't.
I really did. I mean, but I was a winner.
Favorite penalties, illegal formation really sucks, doesn't affect the game, false start on everyone but the center. Let's see, somebody else said there was one more that I missed. Another thing receivers get away with is dropping their helmet into defenders. Okay, now we're just making penalty complaints. I was asking for favorites, guys. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, what did we learn from this, you know, this new addition of the offensive line? 713, what's the damn number? 572-4610. That's the number. We'll do it next.